God is good, and so I believe that this could be a blessing in the long run. Praise God. You ready for the word? Honestly, there is just that altar appeal feel already in the house of God. When we were singing about that name, I felt like that anybody in the building could whisper the name of Jesus and be healed right now, be touched of God right now. I am so thankful that God is not bound to a format and something that I've scheduled and put together, and it must happen that way. We're subject to let the Lord intervene anytime He wants to, right? Wow, what a crowd. Look at this. Isn't that awesome? Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross," everybody say, "my cross," "and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So there's a losing and there's a gaining that's got to take place with this Christian stuff, right? And then I want to look at Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man," everybody say, "any man." Turn to your neighbor and say, "That means everybody." "If any man will come after me," or wants to follow me, "let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Amen. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." There it is again. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what is a man profited?" Okay, the Lord's bringing it down to the real deal. And he says, "For what have you profited if you shall gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, what the Lord's trying to say is that your soul is more valuable than this whole world. There's nothing you can give. Nothing is more valuable. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his," what? "Works." Now, I know that that's a bad word in the religious world right now. We don't work for salvation, but when we get salvation, we go to work for the kingdom. And when we receive salvation, there's things we got to get worked out. Amen. And so basically, what these scriptures are sharing with us is a deep-seated submission to the Lord. It's not about it's not all about, "I found Jesus." Some of it is about, "He found me and he's fixing me." He's helping me. He's seeing me through. I am so dependent on him until I literally feel I can't make it. There's no life without Jesus. And to get to that kind of point, one's got to determine that I just give up my life for the life that he wants to give me. And so I take up my cross. Like he took up his cross for me, I take up my cross for him. And so we're going to do this. We're going to talk about a new look at an old cross. We're not developing a new cross without an old look. But we're going to take a new look at a very old cross. Praise God. Because I don't want us affected by this new generation that wants to take the blood out and wants to take the cross out and all of that. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we look to you right now for your will, your way, your wisdom. We pray your spirit, power, and your presence. We ask you to bless every individual in this house right now by your divine spirit and by your wonderful anointing in the mighty name of the Lord. And somebody shout amen. God richly blesses. You're seated just now. Thank you again for being in the house of God with us this morning. Amen. A new look at an old cross, all unannounced and mostly undetected. There definitely has come in modern times a new cross into popular religious circles. Now, there will be an extension of this. I'd love for you to come for our midweek service, which is Tuesday night at 7:30, and we'll be teaching on this in more detail. I mean detail. But today we're preaching. And so we want to inspire you, praise God. And so it was all announced. Now there's a new cross in the popular religious circles. From this new cross has sprung this new philosophy of Christian life altogether. A new technique, a new type of meeting, new kind of preaching. Amen. Let me tell you something about the old cross real quick. And that is that the old cross would have nothing to do with the world. But now there are religions that want to bring the world in with the old cross. Amen. I watched a clip yesterday that made my chin drop. There was literally some dude up on the platform of a church in roller skates, dancing and twirling around in roller skates while someone was singing a gospel song and boogieing to it. Hilarious, isn't it? It's not so funny if you think about all the blood that was shed and all the anointing and all the power that was given and the resurrection, the Easter coming, how the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Listen, this ain't about roller skates and boogieing for Jesus. Amen. That's religion. We're not preaching religion right now. We're preaching a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Take your rollerblades to the skating rink. But when you come in here, bring your shouting shoes. Amen. This is not a format. This is just simply giving in to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and worshiping Him spontaneously according to the way the Spirit moves on you. Right? Amen. This isn't orchestrated. I don't find any of that silliness in the Word of God. But I do find it where they were healed in their body and they began to leap for joy. I do find it when their eyes were opened, they ran straight to church and began to tell everybody. And the hypocrites couldn't shut them down. The hypocrites, the Sadducees, couldn't shut them up because they wanted to tell what the Lord had done. Now we want to make it cotton candy and coffee in the sanctuary. Listen, let me tell you something. This ain't a place for coffee. This ain't a place for cheer wine. Amen. This is where we do business with the King. This is where we worship Him. This is where we praise Him. Amen. You don't like the old cross, but I'm going to preach the old cross. There is no new cross. He has already been crucified, and He will never be crucified again. So you can change religion all you want to, but you can't change a real relationship with God. Amen. Praise God. And so we want to take a new look, but when we take that new look, we want to continue to look at the old cross. Amen. It's a new philosophy, new technique. Amen. Everything's new. For Adam's proud flesh, the old cross meant the end of the journey, because the old cross is a symbol of death. Amen. God salvages the individual by liquidating him. That's right. When you get in financial trouble, you take what little bit you've got and liquidate it. You get rid of it and turn it into money. That's when you get in financial trouble. When you get in sin trouble, you come to the altar and you liquidate the flesh and let God have it and take control of you, amen, so he can make you better than you've ever been before. And it's got to take the liquidation. My Bible says that after you've been affected by the gospel, that you are a new creature in Christ, that the old man has died, and that you are a new creature now. That's why some of you, I watched you when you came to the Lord in here, amen. And when you got what you needed to have, the Holy Ghost put a spring in your step. You look 10, 15, 20 years, don't make me call names now, hallelujah, amen. You look 10, 15, even 20 years younger. What in the world got a hold of you? I'll tell you what got a hold of. The old man has been crucified, and we walked away with the new man because of an old cross. Praise God. And so it is. The new cross, if I understand it, the modern cross, if I understand it right, is the source of good, clean, fun, and enjoyment. Amen. You go to Facebook and people that are enjoying that new cross, all they want to talk about, what a bright, sunshiny day. What a wonderful day at the beach so I can wear my bikini. What a beautiful time we had today at the racetrack. What a wonderful time we had today at the football game. It's never what a great time we had today weeping in the presence of God. What a wonderful time we had submitting to the King of Kings. Amen. It's so shallow. It's so empty. We better open our eyes. We better open our hearts. We better open our minds, because there's a new cross trying to come in on the scene. We don't need a new cross because the old one is working just fine. There's no sacrifice. It's just self-aggrandizement. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got more to do than to show what my chains and things on Facebook. I've got more better things to do than to be proud of some new car I got or some big house I moved. I've got greater things to do for the kingdom of God. Hey, I got home Bible studies to teach where you can smell pot, where you can... where people are dying from lung cancer because they smoke so bad. Amen. I got houses to go into that alcoholics are so bad that the babies are doing without food. I've got things to do for the glory of God. It ain't about me. It ain't about my lake trip. It ain't about my vacation. It's about the glory of God. It's about an old cross. It's about somebody being born again of the water and the Spirit. Somebody help me. Praise God. Hallelujah. The new cross lets Adam live without interference. His life motivation is totally unchanged. He lives for his own pleasures. That's the new. Hey, it doesn't slay the sinner. It redirects him. It gears him to a cleaner and jollier way of living and saves his self-respect with everybody. Amen. Coat of many colors, if you please. Be careful, you'll wind up in a pit. I know somebody that had a coat like that and he wound up in a pit. Prison, jail, till he got his attitude right. Telling people they're going to bow down and worship him. No wonder he wound up in a pit. After a little bit of suffering, after a little bit of dying, after a little bit of sacrifice, he became the second man in command in Egypt, and he's a Jew. Joseph became a great man of God after he found out what page he was supposed to be on. Amen. Let's understand today that there's a trip we need to make to Calvary. And when we walk away, that old man needs to lay right there dead as a doornail so we can become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not going to hear preaching like this everywhere, but I didn't come to Lexington to be the most favorite preacher. Although I am, I'm just kidding. See, bad spirits attack you at any time. Praise God. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, let's not let go of that old cross, because it has worked for over 2,000 years and it will continue to work in the future. Amen. Don't let your faith go south, but let's build our faith in the future because of a cross of the past, because of that old cross, the bloody one, the one that's got spikes in it. Amen. It's not gold and it don't glitter. It's not hanging and dangling on a chain. It was stamped into the ground. It ripped sinew. It tore tissue. It made him bleed. It marked him. Hallelujah. He had the marks at his resurrection. Hallelujah. They could see the holes in his hand. They could see his side that was pierced. That's the cross that I want to preach. That's the cross that I want to hang around. That's the cross that I want to be close to. Praise God. Amen. If you're not excited, I've got my forefathers just jumping around in the grave. Amen, because that's what they preached and that's what I'm going to preach in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew knew what he was talking about. Among all the plastic religious practice of our times, Jesus has to do all the dying now. And all modern new cross religions, all they want to hear is how he died. How he sacrifices, how he gives, how he pours out. There's absolutely nothing for me to be responsible for. That's the new cross. And that's not true. I read it. He said it. Take up your cross and follow me. Hallelujah. We want to be saved. Many insist that Jesus do all the dying. No cross for us, no dethronement, and no dying for us. We remain king within the little kingdom of man's soul and wear out our tinsel crown with all the pride of a Caesar. But we doom ourselves sometimes to shadows and weakness and spiritual sterility. Amen. Self is so subtle. Amen. I don't recommend it 24 hours a day talking to yourself. And I certainly don't recommend answering. How you doing? Fine. Don't do that. Don't do that. But every now and then, it wouldn't hurt to look into the mirror and say, self, I'm giving you to God today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. This is not just a church event. This is not just something I do at church. This is my lifestyle, and I want to remind you once again that today is God's day, not yours. Because it's so subtle that scarcely anyone is conscious of its presence. Because a man is born a rebel, he's unaware that he is one. We're born in sin. That's why the Bible says we must be born again. His constant assertion of self appears to him to be a perfectly normal thing. That's why this world, this day and time, are calling things normal that are so far from normal. And then if you try to explain it, you are such a hater. And that's why if you and I live long enough, they're going to be marrying horses and dogs, the spotted owl and the humpback whale. Funny. But hear me. If a man can marry a tree, and he did not long ago. Wonder where they went for their honeymoon. I know one thing that tree said, we ain't going to no log cabin. May as well laugh. There's nothing else we can do about it. Except preach an old cross to a bunch of folks that love what it stands for. and care about what it is. Amen. Praise God. Sin has a lot of manifestations, but its very essence is one thing. A moral being created to worship before the throne of God sits on the throne of his own selfhood. And from that elevated position declares, I am. My wife showed me a little clip today. She texted to me and it said, never put I am before he is. Let him be the I am before you do. Before you make yourself the I am. That's sin concentrated in its essence, yet because it's natural, sin appears to be good. Acts 2:37, the people said, what shall we do? That is the deep heart cry of every man who suddenly realizes that he is an usurper and sits on a stolen throne. And he decides, this isn't working anymore. Promoting self under the guise of promoting Jesus Christ is currently so common as to excite little notice. Be careful about self-aggrandizement. Men want to build big edifices because they want to be big men. You're not a big man because you've got a big crowd. We want a big crowd because we know that crowd represents your mom and dad being born again, set free by the blood of the Lamb. Not because we can play tambourines and sing kumbaya and hug trees and let every sin in the world go loose and free on the platform and everywhere else. Hey, no, no, no. That's a new cross, and a new cross won't get the job done. That's why there's only one cross, and we cannot crucify him again. It's not in the Word of God. Amen. Moses got in trouble when he smote the rock. How many times? Somebody shout it. He smote the rock how many times? Twice. Amen. Jesus Christ was only, he is the rock. And he was only supposed to be smitten once. And so if we go trying to crucify him and put him on a new cross, then we are in violation of the Word of God. Amen. There's one cross, and that's good enough. And I'm going to keep preaching it till the day I die, or the eastern sky splits wide open and takes this church home. Hallelujah. It's time to go back to the old cross and believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and the giving it, living it, and loving it. My, my, my. Praise God. Praise God. We will not promote self. Hallelujah. Amen. Self-promotion can live unrebuked at every altar. It can watch the bleeding victim die and not be in the least affected by what it sees. My, my, my. My, my. It's the veil that hides the face of God from the rest of us. Self can only be removed in spiritual experience, never by mere instruction. You're not going to take people after a rock concert into a room and say, repeat after me, and expect them to be born again. They need help. They need a move of God on them. They need the stirring of the Spirit. They don't need something they can say from the lip in 10 seconds. They need a confrontation of the Holy Ghost. They need an anointing that can fall in the house and shake this thing from center to circumference. They need anointing. They need overcoming. They need strength, fortification to face this world that they live in. Praise God. And so, that's self. Self tries to instruct sin out of your life and out of your system. There's got to be a work of God in destruction before we're free. We must invite the cross to do its deadly work within us before we can be set free. We must bring ourselves sins, our self-sins, to the cross of judgment. Because our uncrucified flesh will rob us of the blessings of God. We need a purity of heart that comes after the crucifixion. We need Christ-likeness and character that comes after our crucifixion. Spiritual insight that comes after I've given it all to God. Fruitfulness. Another person sitting in here because of you. Another person being baptized because of you. Another graduation of Search for Truth because of you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. Spiritual insight. Fruitfulness. The vision. We need the vision of God's face. The vision that has been the light of the earth and will be the completeness of heaven. Amen. Praise God. My, my, my. A young man came to an old saint who taught the deeper life, the old cross, the crucified life, and he said to him, "Father, what does it mean to be crucified?" And the old man thought for a moment and he said, "Well, to be crucified means three things. First, a man who is crucified is facing only one direction. If he hears anything behind him, he can't turn around to see what's going on because he had to stop looking back. He's been crucified. The crucified man on the cross is only looking in one direction. And that's the direction of God and the direction of biblical revelation, world evangelism, edifying the church, sanctification, the Spirit-filled life." And the old man scratched his gray hair and he said, "One more thing, son. What about a man on a cross? He's not going back. When you go out to die on a cross, you bid goodbye and you're not going back where you were." If we would preach more of this, he said, and stop trying to make Christian life so easy, it's contemptible, we would have more converts that would last, commit, and dedicate, and survive the walk. Get a man converted who knows that if he joins Jesus, that he's finished, and that while he's going to come up and live anew, as far as this world's concerned, he is not going back, then you have a real Christian. The old man went on. Another thing about the man on the cross, he has no further plans of his own. Somebody else has made his plans for him. And when they nailed him up there, all his plans disappeared. It's beautiful to say, "I'm crucified with Christ," and know that Christ is making your plans. The man who takes his cross and follows Christ will soon find his direction is away from the sepulcher. This is the good thing about being crucified. After it's over. And death is behind you. The grave is behind you. And it only gets greater. The joy of the Lord is ahead. If I see it right, the cross of popular religion is not the cross of the New Testament. It's a new bright ornament upon the bosom of a self-assured and carnal Christianity. The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. The old cross, it brings conviction. The new cross amuses. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new cross encourages it. So when you take up your cross, you have no room for excess luggage. Let's stand together. It's at the cross, where I first saw the light. It's at the cross, where my burdens rolled away. It's at the cross. We want to say it was at his cross. His cross is gone. His cross is deteriorating. But I've got mine where I can hang my sins and crucify every carnal thing, every weight that does so easily beset me. I can lay that upon the altar and I can leave that to bleed out. Because there is nothing, when it comes down to it, There is nothing but the blood. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. An aneurysm. I'm going to die without brain surgery. Doctors go in and all they find is blood. No aneurysm and no place where the blood could be coming from. Strange. But there is nothing when it's said and done but the blood. I wonder if someone would like to take up your cross and follow Jesus. If so, here's your Calvary.
Stood an old rugged cross.
Hallelujah. Make your way to where it makes a difference. Make your way to where the anointing can break every yoke. Where God can tear down every stronghold. Where the anointing can break the yoke and the bondage of sin, sickness, and disease. Where the presence of the Lord can be found. Altar workers, would you help us here today? Praise God. Find a need and meet it. Praise God. Let's believe the Lord right now to touch someone in a great measure, in a wonderful, powerful way. Hallelujah. Calling on the name of the Lord right now.
Oh, till my trophies at last I lay down.
A new treasure waits for me.
I will please.
A new anointing. A new dominion, overcoming a new strength.
And exchanging someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross.
Oh, yeah.
Till my trophies. At last I lay down.
Pick up your cross and follow him.
And that same blood dries all. Every one of my tears, you know it's the blood. And it gives me strength. Oh, day, today. And it will never, never, never lose this time.
Somebody help me thank God for the cross. Let's refresh the cross. Let's renew the cross. Let's get another passion for the cross. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Wow, what a presence of God in the house today. Again, to all of our guests and visitors, thank you so much for being at Landmark. Amen. Come back and be with us again tonight. We promise to have good church again. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.